Morning.
Good morning, James.
How are you doing today?
I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad at all. I'm very excited to be talking about fairy tales. I'm just going to ask the basic question. Why do adults feel compelled to tell and consume stories?
I think since the dawn of time, since we've been able to stand erect and speak, we have attempted to make sense of the world through storytelling. And when you think about it, going back thousands and thousands and thousands of years pre-technology and pre-scientific explanation, the need to tell stories to explain what was inexplicable to our ancestors was conveyed through stories to make sense of the world around them.
It's one of the few things probably in as humans that's remained constant since the dawn of time that we've always wanted to tell stories. So how and why do fairy tales function as a social commentary or critic?
I think fairy tales have emerged from environments all over the world. And so they're very culturally specific. They speak to the environments from which they originated. And they tell the stories of the world around them, as I said a minute ago. So they're stories that provide warnings. They're stories that provide, at times, explanations. And they're also some social commentary. I think there are a lot of fairy tales, like the traditional ones, the well-known ones that we have. They're, at times, a critique of elite classes and comments on poverty. And that's why I think a lot of the time they're filled with elements of overcoming adversity, because the tales of the folk and the lives of the folk were, you know, lives of adversity and hardship and poverty and starvation. And so there is that social criticism of elite classes in a veiled way through fairy tales. And it's also a way of talking about overcoming adversity, which is what people needed to do for thousands of years.
So how have contemporary artists sought to reinvent the fairy tale, such as second wave feminists or mock domesticity?
It's an amazing area to see how fairy tales are constantly being reinterpreted. And they're also a great mirror on the society in which they're emerging from. So if you look at second wave feminism beginning in the late 60s, early 70s, fairy tales were a means of a lot of feminist artists either critiquing the role of women in society, and so therefore, you know, critiquing the princess archetype, or they were means of expressing women's own disempowerment through a feminist lens. So you have writers and artists and poets using them for personal reasons, but also as a form of political commentary and political criticism.
I think that's definitely one aspect of fairy tales in the modern day. But can you talk about Disneyfication and the effect of this on fairy tales?
What was that? The Disneyfication?
Yes.
And then that's another. Fairy tales are like myths and legends. They're malleable and they're changeable. They're very plastic. So they change through time and space and culture, and also who is telling or retelling the stories, male or female. And the Disneyfication is one of those sort of pockets of reinterpretation, for good or bad. What they tended to do with a lot of the famous fairy tales is water them down. But that was a process that began with fairy tales long before Disney came along. But they commodified them for a commercial market, and that meant a lot of the taboo aspects of original fairy tales were removed. So they were marketed specifically at children. And fairy tales, of course, were not told specifically for children in their original format. So were told for adults, sometimes for children. That's why there was a lot of sex and violence in the original tales. So Disney produced these very happy, safe versions of fairy tales like Snow White and Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. And they were meant to entertain people. But they, you know, they're not a good insight into the original fairy tales. So when I teach fairy tales at university, I have a course on it for students. If they've come to that course and they've only been exposed to the Disney versions, they can barely believe the original versions that I show them, because they don't match up, and they're quite horrified that the very happy, peaceful versions that Disney offered bear very little resemblance except a basic plot line to the original tales. But having said that, There is now the Me Too campaign, which has recently targeted Disney for, presenting fairy tales in this way, and Me Too campaigners accusing them of promoting violence against women and, saying that it's okay to make sexual advances on a woman without permission. So they've seen them as quite subversive, whereas I tend to see them as pretty flaccid and unappealing,
right, okay.
With a lot of power at all.
What important themes do you think these fairy tales can give us? Do they inspire us to live better, or are they giving us some hero figures? Are they restoring faith?
I think they do all of those things, James. I think they, because they're in their original form, they're stories, and so they don't actually tell you what to make of them. You can make of them what you want yourself. Now, when the Brothers Grimm began to commit the tales they were told to writing, they did add morals to them and they did add Christian elements to them. But if you look at the tales and not focus on the contamination that the Grimms did in writing the tales up, and you look at them just purely as narratives, they're open to interpretation and everyone sees them differently. And they can be very empowering. So, there is a story like Hansel and Gretel. Well, Gretel rescues her little brother, but she has to push the witch into the oven in order to get her little brother out of the cage and stop the witch from eating him. Now, of course, anyone with sort of a modicum of common sense would know that, that tale is not telling little girls to push old women into ovens.
Definitely not.
But what it's saying is that, in a dreadful situation, never forget that there is agency and there is survival, and it's a powerful symbol of a child being able to take back control. It's a very exaggerated example, but it shows agency in a very extreme way. And a lot of fairy tales talk about overcoming adversity. They also deal with taboos, which I think people need to acknowledge and think about, because life is always not perfect and it's not politically correct. It's complex and problematic, and these tales show us that, but they also usually show us a means of navigating through them in very simple ways. But I think the simplicity of the storylines actually is part of the power of them.
It's all very interesting, the power of fairy tales. Thank you so much for talking to us, Professor Johnston, and joining us to talk about fairy tales and how they've just really changed the way society is pretty much built. So thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, James. Thank you.